Hare Krishna. Is it on? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe. I am very grateful to all of you and to Sridharma Prabhu and Kishori Mataji to have invited me. And the reason of calling Radharani over here, because it's a local call here. It is very easy to attract her attention over here. So let us loudly call from the bottom of our hearts to attract her attention to all of us. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. इट इज आफ्टर मेनी लाइफ टाइम्स ऑफ पायस एक्टिविटीज एंड एक्टिविटीज ऑफ अटेम्प्ट्स ऑफ प्लीजिंग द लॉर्ड वन कैन रीच द होली धाम ऑफ श्री वृंदावन. सो एज प्रभुजी वाज एक्सप्लेनिंग, डू नॉट टेक एनी मोमेंट्स हियर which are of Krishna consciousness. Every moment should be immersed into thoughts and memories and remembrance of the Lord. When we came in 1986 for the first time here, at the station of Mathura, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj received us and He spoke very wonderful words. One word, one line that struck my heart, which every time I come here I get reminded of. He said that from the moment we enter Braj Bhumi, from that moment onwards, we should beg for the mercy of Radharani from the core of our heart till we reach Bombay or wherever we go. So it's a great effort. It is not something which is mechanical, but we must attempt to beg for the mercy of the Lord, beg for the mercy of the Queen of Vrindavan Dham, Srimati Radharani. Then our visit to the holy place can be successful, can be called as successful. We are very fortunate to begin our yatra in this very beautiful place. This place is called as Ghevar Kund or Radha Sarovar, or by many names also called as Kirti Kund. This Ghevar one, which you see around here, even much beyond that where we got on the buses, all that is Ghevar Kund, Ghevar Ban. And scriptures explain that Ghevar Ban is personally made by Srimati Radharani with her own lotus hands for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. So every creeper here, every arrangement here, every kunda, every asana, every step, everything is designed by herself. And here Radha and Krishna come together, and the creepers and the trees that fall down with leaves, Krishna just goes on lifting them one after another and lets Radharani come in the Ghevar Kunja. That is the pastime here. There are beautiful, actually today we do not see, some glimpses are there. This forest is very thick forest, flooded with flowing down leaves and creepers, and some sakhis go in front and they lift, go on lifting. And then Krishna himself lifts some of the creepers on the way and let Radharani come in. Very beautiful flower bed is arranged inside. All the sakhis are waiting and then the pastimes take place over here. That is why the local Brajvasis did lot of effort and, you know, sangharsh to maintain this place and the beauty of this place and make it green and beautiful again. This particular place, Ghevar Kund, It is explained that the Brijwasi pastimes that Radharani and Gopis, they take bath here daily. Srimati Radharani and Gopis come here daily to take bath. So this water also is the Charanamrut of Srimati Radharani and Gopis. We must take Achman in the end. And when they take bath here, from Morkuti, the Gopas, headed by Krishna and Balram, throw laddus over here on them. In perverted way, today people throw tomatoes and eggs to disturb the ladies. In a transcendental way, the Madhu Mangal, Krishna and Balaram and other Sakhas, they hide behind and they throw laddus to disturb the gopis while taking bath. And then after this disturbing gets over, then they invite Krishna Balaram to come down, and then they perform ras here also. That is supposed to be Ras Mandal here, where they perform ras. And one of the beautiful stories which Radhanath Maharaj told about this place was that, I'll tell you in short, that many, many Makhanchor pastimes are there of Krishna. One time they wanted to catch Krishna and Balaram red-handed, you know, eating the makhan from their pots. So they kept only one door open, they closed all the doors and they hid themselves in bushes. And then Krishna Balaram, as expected, came to that house to steal the butter from the pots. And while they were doing so, exactly at that time, they all jumped on them and they caught them. They could not escape. But Krishna is very clever. He saw a window open on the higher level, which they never thought of. So he just immediately made four, five people stand on one another, and he just climbed them, and everybody just escaped through that window. And the gopis kept watching. But guess what? Sri Madhu Mangal Ji, the famous Brahmin, friend of Krishna, who is big tummy, big body because of eating laddus and sweets, he got stuck in the window. Can you imagine that? So you can imagine Madhu Mangal's both hands, head and chest out of the window on higher level, and his friends are pulling him from higher level. And his big tummy and the legs are in the room hanging, and the gopis are pulling him down. So who do you think won? Who can win by the law of gravity? By the law of gravity, the gopis won, and they successfully pulled Madhu Mangal down. And he kept on calling, "Krishna, Balaram, save me, save me, save me." And they kept on coming, "Madhu Mangal, come, 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 come." And the voices of Madhu Mangal, "come, come, come," went on becoming faint and faint and faint. And then his voices remained as loud as possible, but there was no scope for him. So they brought him down, and something like this, they were carrying many, many of them. And they beat him with the stick and really, you know, ridiculed him and really insulted him in one way. And when he could not hear any more sounds of his friends who tried to save him, then suddenly he thought of one intelligent thing. He said, "I'm a Brahmin. You know, I can curse you. I can break my Brahmin thread and curse you and send you all to hell." And the gopis are very simple-hearted. You know. They immediately got scared. And they immediately stopped beating him, started apologizing to him. And he said, "No, I'm going to curse you." He maintained his anger for some time to keep on the threat in their mind on. And then they said, "What we should do to please you?" So he's also very clever. He said, "It's a good opportunity. I'm alone. I don't have to share all the blessings of gopis with everybody else." So he said, I'm a Brahmin and I love lots of laddus. So please go and make variety of laddus and sweetmeats." So all the gopis got relieved. At least something he has told us to relieve us from his curse. So then they went home, they made variety of laddus, and they put him on that asan. That's what Maharaj told us. You can see that singhasan type thing there. You can see at the direction of my danda, that small boy is sitting there, and beyond that there are three steps and there is one single asan. That is the place where they placed him, they worshipped him as a Brahmin, offered flowers and aarti, and then they offered all the bhoga that they brought. And you can imagine how much happy Madhu Mangal must have been. He just had a very gala time enjoying all the wonderful laddus made by the gopis with love, and also some scare and threat in the heart. And then also they gave dakshina, he gave them heartful of blessings, and then they sent him off from there. So this is also a beautiful pastime here. You can see the natural beauty of this place, surrounded by all kinds of holy trees that you can imagine. Radhanath Maharaj always tells that you don't just come physically over here. You absorb the holy dham through all your senses. We absorb so many things through our senses, understand the material world through our senses. But this is a place where with your spiritualized senses, you should grasp everything that is around you. The sound, the scene, the smell, the touch. When the breeze comes here, one should know very clearly, as per the statements of Radhanath Maharaj, that Krishna is coming and embracing you in his beautiful lotus arms to accept you, to bless you. Even if the breeze is warm or cold or lukewarm. All the breezes are absolute here. They have the absolute effect, although we have different effects on our body. He's telling me also, by the way, when he tells it is warm. So, we have come to Jhulan Yatra here. And Jhulan Yatra is one of the very beautiful, loving pastimes of Sri Krishna and Radharani. On the day of Hariyali Tij, which was supposed to be on 12th of August this month, it was Hariyali Tij. Hariyali Tij means Tritiya, Shravan Shuddha Tritiya. On this day, before that day, when the Ashad ended, Shravan began, Radharani was in Nandagaon and she was thinking, my brother, my father, nobody has come to take me to Barsana, and all the newly wedded girls have gone to their houses in Barsana, and they are being swung by their brothers in Barsana, and how my brother Sridhama has forgotten me, how my mother Kirtida, how my father has forgotten me, how they have not yet come. And she is thinking like this, and it is said that she was singing in Rag Malhar, expressing her emotions in this particular way. And that time on Banjara, that means one cowherd boy came, and you know, for example, some of you are Gujarati, some of you are Maharashtrians, some of you are Sindhis. And moment people see you, they also recognize ki this is must be Gujarati, this must be Sindhi, right? The people where the way are, they are. So as soon as these Banjara came to Barsana, she recognized that he is from Barsana by the way he walked and talked and performed his activities. So she also told him, because everything is a song in spiritual world. So in poetry she spoke to him that why my father has forgotten me, why my brother has not yet come here. So then she told him that you please go and give message. So Banjara went back and gave the message to Sridhama, and Sridhama immediately came on a chariot to Nandagaon. This is also one of the famous Rath Yatra, where Sridhama comes on chariot and then takes Radharani from Nandagaon to Barsana. And when she comes here on the day of Hariyali Tij, on Shravan Shuddha Tritiya, Radharani is ascended on the beautiful jhula, beautiful swing, and the sakhis are swinging him for very beautifully, singing songs of love and affection. And here when she ascended the swing, decorated swing, and was enjoying the pastimes with gopis, Krishna in Nandagaon became very restless. How can he stay without Radharani? So he took the form of Shama Sakhi. He became Shama Gopi. He dressed himself as a beautiful cowherd girl, covered with cloth on the head. And he first showed his mother. And mother said, you don't even look like Krishna anymore. I could not even recognize you, so your dressing is perfect. Many times he does that, and he takes approval from his mother. Not all the time, sometimes. Whenever it is appropriate, he takes. Whenever it is not appropriate, he just continues. So he dressed up and he came here, and as soon as he entered Barsana, all the gopis got very enamored by this beautiful gopi who has come new. They could not recognize her. So they were very amazed, and nobody is envious in Vrindavan Dham. So they said, oh, this gopi appears to have more love than any of us in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So 2 came, then 4 came, then 50 came, then 100 came. By the time we were ascending to the Vrishbhanu Mahal, many, many hundreds of gopis gathered. And they took Shama Sakhi to Krishna, to Radharani who was swinging. And Radharani also was very, very happy to see a new gopi. So she said, come, come, come and sit with me on the swing. And they let her, Shama Sakhi, ascend to the swing. And then they were singing, swinging. Suddenly everybody recognized that he is Krishna. Because the way he was moving his eyes towards Radharani, everybody recognized. You know, there's acting. When we do acting, we all do acting in drama. As long as we are peaceful in the mind, acting goes successfully. But suppose somebody becomes overwhelmed emotionally, then the acting goes out of control. Somebody becomes emotional. So in this beautiful drama which Krishna was doing by becoming Radharani Sakhi, when he became close to his most beloved Radharani, he could not control his emotions. He became totally overwhelmed with loving emotions and he could not continue performing his drama. So his eyebrows moved against his desire, but with his desire towards Radharani. And then his disguise was identified, but they were very happy to identify him. They removed his veil and they continued swinging him. And then all of you know that when he had got down and he swung Radharani, and there are beautiful songs of that. And then Radharani got down and she put Krishna on the swing, and there are beautiful songs. Then Radharani, Krishna, both of them ascended the swing and gopis swung them. And there are many, many beautiful pastimes that took place. So Jhulan Yatra is this loving pastime, and is also explained in Anand Vrindavan Champu that in this pastime, lot of demigods' wives are also participating. They come down and they participate. Some of them are in the skies, some of them are in the periphery. And they sing songs and they play musical instruments and they dance and they create the mood of the Jhulan Yatra. And Krishna then finally... Jhulan Yatra takes place all over Vrindavan. I just told you about Barsana. Nandagam also, Krishna Balaram swing. But they swing 1 month before Radharani. Start swinging 1 month before. And Vrindavan also, Radha Govindji is 5 days. Maki Bihariji from Harialiti is for 1 month. And many other temples for 20 days like that. So every kunj, Srimati Radharani and Krishna keep swinging. And all the gopis in the direction of Vrinda Devi, who is guided by Lalita Devi, arrangements are being made. The trees also participate in creating a decorative mood, decorative scene. The flowers participate, the fragrance participates, the breeze participates, every color participates which is available in the scene. Everybody just is in the mood of pleasing Radha and Krishna. And then it is said that like a drunkard, fully drunk with loving emotions, Krishna enters into the arena with his left hand on Radharani's shoulder, having a flute in his hand. And in the right hand, he is swinging one lotus flower like this. You can imagine? Left hand is like this, Radharani's shoulder, with flute in the hand, which is near Radharani's lips. And right hand is having lotus flower, is swinging like this. And in the ears, he has got beautiful fragrant flowers. And there is a circle of bumblebees which are making beautiful songs, and with the breeze of their wings, the flowers in his ears are moving. And there are reflections of his earrings on his cheeks, and like a drunkard filled with love for Radharani, he enters the Jhulan area. And further, there are long, long pastimes, we'll tell some other time. I'm just creating a scene for you. How everybody, every atom in Sri Vrindavan Dham, you know, participates and contributes in creating a beautiful, favorable, suitable environment for Krishna's all pastimes. So what we should learn from this is that our life, our breath, our thoughts, our actions, every single thing that we have, we think we have, we think we own, we think we control, we should engage them in pleasing Krishna and Radharani, in creating and contributing to the atmosphere which can please Radha and Krishna, which can please the devotees. And that is why we come to the holy place. We don't come to the holy place to just enjoy our senses. We come to the holy place so that each and every atom of our existence can be used in contribution to pleasing Lord Radha and Krishna. That is our purpose of coming here. For that we need to be immersed in thoughts and in cooperation in understanding, in appreciating, in grasping every molecule of the vibration of the holy place. Don't think that this place is a very simple place. All the demigods are hankering to have a glimpse of this place. Please should understand that. All the demigods are hankering to have one morsel of Mahaprasad that Radha and Krishna are leaving behind after their enjoyment. But they are not able to come to this place. And we with our wretched bodies and sinful consciousness are also allowed to come in and participate in the breeze, in taking prasadam, and in sleeping here, in drinking water. The water here is supposed to be the essence of all the rasas. All the mellows of devotion concentrated is available as water over here. So when you drink water, you should understand that we are accepting the essence of all the mellows which are in love of Radha and Krishna. So you can see through the eyes, through the nose, through the tongue, through the ears, through the skin, we can appreciate the essence of this place. Ramesh Babaji explains that all the rasas that we think we know and all rasas which are existing which we don't know, all have emanated from the lotus feet of Radharani in Barsana Dham. And from here, what is called as vikas, that means they are developed from here. They grow from this place and then they are distributed to all over the Braj Bhumi. So even in the Braj Bhumi, this place becomes the source of all the rasas because of Radharani's presence. And when she arrived, appeared in the material world here, it is said that all the poor people become very rich. All the hungry people become very full with food and wonderful items. Because she is Annapurna also, and she is everything. She is the source of everything. She is Krishna Swamini. So we should understand that our beloved Lord Sri Krishna also has sold himself out to Radharani. So we have come to a place where he comes and begs for mercy. He comes and rolls in the dust, pleading for her mercy, begging for her mercy. So what we should do? We should also do the same thing. He is exemplifying to us that Radharani's mercy is supreme. There is one small kund here called Bihari Kund, also called Tilak Kund, where Lord Shiva comes and dresses himself as Gopi. It's also called as Maheshwari Kund, because Mahesh and Maheshwari is Parvati. So Parvati comes there and says, "Hey, you don't even know how to dress yourself. You should come to me. I know exactly how to dress you." Then she also completes his dressing as a woman and a gopi and said, "Now you please go." So he comes, dresses in Maheshwari Kund and comes here at the bottom of this pahad, this mountain, and pleads for Radharani's mercy. So everybody, all the demigods, all great personalities, all sadhus, all Vaishnavas, they come here and they call out Radharani's name to get her mercy. For one glimpse of hers upon us, one glance upon us can deliver us from this material existence, can give us the mercy of our beloved Lord Sri Krishna. So we have to spend all the time here begging for that mercy which we are actually in need of. We should start hankering for that mercy and make our trip successful. Another very close by place is that green temple on the top of this small mountain here. That is called Morkuti. And that place, the pastime, is also connecting with the Man Mandir on the top. So briefly, that Lord Brahma performed 60,000 years of tapasya at the beginning of Satya Yuga. First Satya Yuga of his life. There are so many Satya Yugas coming in his life. First Satya Yuga of his life, he knew that I must get blessings of Sri Krishna. So he performed 60,000 years of tapasya with no response and no result. Then he went on with his job. At the end of the Satya Yuga, again he performed 60,000 years of tapasya. So 100,000 years of tapasya. At the end of that, Sri Krishna appeared to him and told him that you please go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So he said, "Sri Vrindavan Dham is so big, where should I go?" So he said, "Go to Brahat Sanu, which is looking very beautiful. The mountains which look very beautiful. Or Var Sanu, or as per Jayadev Goswami, it is called as Vrishabhanu Griha or Vrishabhanu Pur. So Brahat Sanu is also, the mountains are very attractive over here. Please go and take shelter there. And my dear most Sakhi, Srimati Radharani will play with her confidential friends upon you. And you will naturally receive her mercy. And my friends also will come herding their cows. And they will also shed their dust on your head. So Brahmaji came and resided over here. And since then, at the beginning of this Brahmanda, Brahmaji residing over here, four heads. One head is Bhanugad, where their house is there. Radharani stays with his father and her father and mother, Vrishabhanu and Kirtida Devi. Second is Dhangad. Third is Vilasgad on this side. And fourth is Mangad, which is behind us. And this place is supposed to be the Nabi of Brahma. That is why it is also called as Nabi Kunda. So very, very powerful place. So at Man Mandir, Radharani, for the pleasure of Sri Krishna, becomes angry. Radharani's everything is meant for Krishna. She has Mahabhav, and the Mahabhav is made up of Rati, Prem, Sneha, Man, that is anger, Pranay, that is romance, Rag, that is attraction, Anurag, that is minute and subtle attraction, Bhav. All this together makes Mahabhav, and that is the emblem of Radharani. Radharani is known for her Mahabhav. Krishna has got, because Krishna is divided into two, Purush and Stri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has got, because he is a combination of Radha and Krishna again. So only these three personalities have this Mahabhav. And Mahabhav also essentially is love. If you consider the ocean of rasa, mellow, and if you churn that ocean and take out essence, that essence is Radharani. So one of the essential loving aspects of Radharani's personality is Man, that she gets angry with Krishna. This is also meant to only to increase his love for her and her love for her, him, and the overall situation. So by this activity of showing Man, Radharani, you know, encourages Krishna to love her more, and the loving pastimes grow. So one time, there are many stories, but one story is that he told once with great love to Radharani that your face is just like moon. Now so many ladies are here, so many gents are here. You must have sometimes told your wife your face is like moon. And she must be so happy, and she must be in so much ecstasy that, oh, I look like moon. But Radharani didn't get happy. She was angry. Why you got angry? I'm comparing you to the beautiful moon, full moon, where we perform Ras Leela. She said, no, the moon is growing and coming down, reducing and increasing. So I am not reducing, but moon is not a good comparison. Because moon has got so many dots, which are not glorified, they are condemned. Some black dots are there. I don't have any black dots. And by the way, my rival Chandravali has Chandra in her name. So you cannot compare me with her. Even her glimpse of her name, part of her name, shouldn't be in my sight and my thoughts. And you have compared me with Chandra. So I don't talk to you. So she went away, angry. You can imagine, Krishna almost fainted, you know, out of this unexpected shock. He wanted to please her through his beautiful words of poetry and trying to really increase their loving pastime, but exactly opposite happens. So she went away, and all the gopis ran behind her because they were so upset, because she was upset, and Krishna was left alone. And then he again went behind them and started pleading Lalita, started pleading Vishakha, please help me. And they were trying to plead Radharani. And I remember in 1986, for the first time, when we climbed the mountain of Man Mandir, Maharaja was telling that Radharani was very angry. So Krishna came from right side and Radharani looked on left side. Then he all the way went round here and went on left side, she looked on right side. And he kept on doing it many times. And the gopis wanted to somehow settle down between the two, but she was not ready. They were pulling his hand to put in her hand and try to make her happy, but she was absolutely unhappy, absolutely angry. So then, what to do? He was rolling in the dust, with tears in eyes, pleading, please be merciful to me. Please accept my apology. I'm sorry for whatever I did. I will never do it again. But she would not budge. So suddenly, with hopeless condition, as per the gopis were watching, he went. And she was still angry, and they were trying to pacify her. And suddenly from distance, one beautiful peacock came. very enchanting peacock with spread feathers, with beautiful colors, you know, charming anybody's mind. And suddenly they saw the peacock, and Lalita said, "Look, look, look, Sriji, this is a peacock, beautiful peacock. How wonderfully it is dancing." So peacock started dancing very beautifully, very beautiful atmosphere was there. And he danced so beautifully that Radharani somehow forgot her anger. She forgot that she was angry. She just climbed down and joined the peacock, and peacock became peahen. She became Morni, and she joined the peacock, and they both danced ecstatically for a long, long time. And everybody was beholding with unblinking eyes that beautiful scene of two peacocks dancing. And after dancing a long time, she realized that peacock was Krishna. You can imagine how happy she must be that she already forgot her anger and she was too pleased with this peacock, and he was Krishna himself. So then she went away. She was very pacified, she was very happy. And that pastime took place somewhere here. I cannot actually pinpoint it happened there on the mountain or in the kund here or wherever. In Ghevarwan it happened. But that place called Borkuti has a great significance. Some people also mention that it took place on that mountain where mountain temple is there now. The peacocks danced over there. So there was one devotee after, you know, in this age, there was one devotee who was very, very great devotee of Sriji, and he was blind by birth, but he was a pure devotee. So Sriji Maharani came in his dreams and told him that you must paint this beautiful pastime of Radha and Krishna, me and Krishna dancing in the form of peacock. He said, I'm blind, I cannot see, how can I? He said, I will bless you and empower you. So in the dream, she revealed this pastime in the heart of this blind devotee who was residing in that Morkuti. He had a disciple who was a tiger. And the tiger was a brahmachari. And Baba would put a jholi in his neck, and he would go in Manpur and Barsana and do Madhukri and bring back to Baba, and Baba would take out and share with the brahmachari tiger and live his life like that. Such kind of mystical Baba he was. So Radharani revealed this particular pastime which I told you just now in his heart, with blind, he being blind. And then with that intuition and that mercy and that revelation, he painted, while he is blind, that painting. And that painting of Radha Krishna dancing as peacock is present in that temple. So you can see that this pastime has so many lessons for us, you know. One should do anything to please the Lord. One should not keep anything reserved if it comes to please the Lord. With all odds, all difficulties, all sufferings in life, one should still keep trying to please the Lord. And more difficulty you have, and more you try, more Krishna is pleased. So we should not get discouraged that so many sufferings are coming, so many difficulties are coming, things are hopeless. Like for Krishna, it was hopeless that I don't know whether ever I'll please Krishna Radharani again, or ever she'll talk to me again. There's not a condition like that. He did not give up. He tried, he rolled in the dust, then he found a very unique way. So one should not hesitate to be very creative in Krishna consciousness. Most unimaginable, unthinkable thing one can try, but just to please the Lord. Then it may work. Nobody thought that. Lalita didn't say, "Krishna, I have an idea for you. You please go and become peacock and try to dance in front of her." No. He just did it, you know. And that worked. Because the mood was to please Radharani. And from the blind Baba story, that we should understand that nothing is so-called deficient in our life, in one sense. If we are Krishna conscious, all the deficiencies that we have are fulfilled. And Radharani and Krishna can complete all our deficiencies into paripurnata, that is, most perfect situation. So he was blind, he was thinking, how will I draw? But what Radharani's mercy cannot do? Radharani's mercy can make lame man climb a mountain, a blind man, you know, start seeing, and dumb man start singing poetry, anything can happen. So like that, a blind man drew a beautiful picture of the Mor Lila, Mor Kuti. So we should simply beg over here that, "Oh my Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please never let us get discouraged. We want to serve you, we want to please you, We have learned so many deficiencies and we are incomplete. We are only an insignificant part of your existence. But still, we surrender our lives at your lotus feet, at the lotus feet of Gurudev, who is your representative. Please help us to always serve you, and please accept our service and our desire to please you, although it is very insignificant. You should beg over here, because all of us should know very well that we are all much, much, much insignificant part of the Lord, that too materially overwhelmed. So only hope that we have is Radharani's mercy. If she bestows her merciful glance upon us, then all the impurities will vanish, all the deficiencies will vanish, will become pure and will become perfect, and we will be able to serve and please Radharani if we only harbor that desire. Ultimately, what is Krishna consciousness? It's a sincere desire to please Radha and Krishna and the devotees. If we cultivate that desire here, while we are here, because everything is favorable over here, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with intense spirituality, and we are participating in that, we are already sharing that atmosphere here. Only if our consciousness is properly oriented, then all that is required to become perfect will be available to all of us, will make our life successful and happy and blissful. Jai Jai Sri Radhe! गहवरकुंड धाम की किमान मंदिर की श्री बरसाना धाम की जय।